beautiful friends. Welcome to the Arise to Life podcast, where we share real and raw conversations about our sometimes crazy, but always beautiful kind of lives. I'm Madison.
Hey, it's Jill.
It's me, Sarah.
And hey, it's Ashlyn, and we are so excited that you're joining us today. Our desire is to encourage every girl in every season to arise to the abundant life that is waiting for her. Whether you're wrestling your toddlers or having a cup of coffee, we're here to come alongside of you and share the ups and downs of our faith, friendship, and everything in between. Okay, I think today is going to be kind of like a part two series to our last one in obedience. We're going to talk about walking in your purpose today. And I just want to start out by saying, if you're wondering whether or not you're called, I'm just going to tell you, you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every single one of us is called. And I'm sure a lot of us have asked the question, what am I here for? Or what's my purpose in life? God created us all on purpose for a purpose. And in Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago." And I love those last two words. Long ago, before we were even formed in our mama's womb, the Lord has a plan for our life, you know? Yeah. And we talked a little bit in obedience last time that it doesn't matter what you do between that time. It doesn't change the calling that you have on your life.
Yeah.
Okay, so I kind of have three steps to finding your purpose, because I know, like, even in the past, in growing up, like, people be like, well, what's your purpose? What's your calling? And I'm like, I don't know, but how do I know? How do I find out?
Yeah.
You know? And so I kind of thought about, and Jill's brain kind of helped me figure out three steps to finding your purpose. And so the first one is seek.
Got to figure out what it is, right? So we have to seek the Lord and figuring out, what is it that he wants me to do? And I know in my case, God has asked me to use the most difficult times in my life to share with others and to be a lighthouse to others. You know, I think of what gets me passionate, what gets me excited is that I don't want other people to make the same mistakes that I did. So I want to take the mistakes that I made and the hurts that I had, and I want to use them to be a lighthouse for someone else.
And I think it lets you see firsthand the transformation power that the Lord has, you know, like what it brought you through, where you once were. And it's like exciting to know that if there's someone struggling in that same area that they can receive that same transformation, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jesus, he tells us to persist in prayer. In Matthew 7:7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." So, I mean, your first step is awesome. We have to seek him.
And it's such a simple concept that we don't apply very often, because it says in the word, you have not because you ask not. So sometimes there's things I think like I shouldn't be asking him for. And I've had that in a calling or a purpose or, you know, whatever it may be. And I've asked and then, or I realize, why am I not even asking him?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think too, when you think about seeking, like maybe you seek and you feel like you get no feedback or no answer, and it's almost like you stop or you give up.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say seek once and you'll, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like the Bible says seek and reseek and seek and seek and seek. And you just don't know what the Lord's doing behind the scenes. You know what I mean? He's never like not doing anything.
Yeah.
And so whether it's changing your heart or mending your heart or molding it or doing something behind the scenes, there's always a spiritual battle going on. And so we just never know what the Lord's doing. And so don't give up seeking. Don't ever stop seeking.
Yeah. That's good. You know, as you're seeking, ask yourself this question. What weapon did the enemy come against me with? Because I think of the story of David and Goliath, and David knocks Goliath out with a stone. And then what he does is he takes Goliath's sword, the very weapon that Goliath was using to try to kill him, and he cuts Goliath's head off with that sword. So I want the enemy to regret the day that he came against me with the things he came against me with. And the way that I do that is by going after those people who are going down that same path as me, is by sharing my story. You know, we defeat him by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. Yeah. The most powerful tool that you have, obviously, is the Holy Spirit, but your testimony, sharing your testimony, and it doesn't have to be on a stage.
Right.
It can just be at the grocery store or with your brother or your sister or your friend saying, God brought me through this. And, you know, testimony means do it again, right? And if he did it for me, he can do do it for you. Yeah. So sharing your testimony, I think, in every person, that's a huge part of your purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So after you seek just what you're passionate about and what you feel like the Lord is just what he's brought you through or what he's calling you to, the next step that came to my mind is just that we need to stay focused. And so once you seek and find the purpose or calling that you know the Lord's speaking into your life, stay focused on pursuing that. The enemy is going to come at you like a wrecking ball. He is going to come in and try to destroy that thought, that calling, because he knows, like Jill said, that the words are going to be like, you're going to overcome anything that you come up against through the word of your testimony. And so he is, the enemy is just going to try to distract you by using whatever he can just to keep you from staying on the track that the Lord's putting out for you.
I mean, the enemy's main goal in life is to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. And he wants, the first thing he wants to do is make sure that you don't find Jesus, mm-hmm. right? The first thing he wants to do is make sure every single person doesn't find Jesus. After that, he wants to make sure, if you found him, that you're ineffective mm-hmm. to bringing other people to Jesus. So he is going to be in an all-out war against the calling that is on your life. So I'm going to tell you right now, if the enemy is coming against you and attacking you, it's because there's something inside of you that he doesn't like and something inside of you that he does not want unleashed on this world. And if you can push through that, and if you can persevere through the enemy's attacks, and you can put on your spirit, your armor and engage in spiritual warfare, then you can do incredible things for the kingdom of God. But the enemy uses a couple strategies against us, and I think the main two are distraction and discouragement.
Yeah.
He wants to distract you from the calling. He wants you to get busy with other things, with, you know, the small things that don't really matter that much that you think have to be done. Maybe it's cleaning the house or vacuuming and it just has to be done.
Yeah.
But maybe there's something more important that God is asking you to do, and you need to set aside the small things to go after the big things.
He's always trying to disqualify us, right?
Yeah.
And like, so when you were talking, I was thinking about how do we fight that? Well, you got to think that God, he never leaves you nor forsakes you, but it also says he's a lamp unto our feet. So he's not a lighthouse shining down where we can walk far away from him. No, it is an intimate lamp. So you're holding the lamp. It's an intimate step for step walk.
Mm-hmm.
And just to remember that, like, I think we forget that because of the distractions and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think just to remember, no, you know what? You don't win.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Something that I like to do and that I've heard others do that really helps to stay focused, I think, is to write God's promises down. You know, on this day, God told me this. And then if it's days or weeks or years later when I'm thinking, well, did God really tell me this? I can go back to that journal or wherever I wrote that down and I can say, yeah, he told me this on this day. And that's a tactic I can use against Satan. Whenever he tries to attack me, I can say, nope, I know my God told me this on this day, and your lies are not going to prevail.
I think that is incredibly important.
Oh, yeah.
When God tells you something, you need to write it down. You need to put a date by it, and you need to say, this is what God said, because the enemy will come and try to disqualify that or to tell you that you got it wrong, and you need to go back to that because it's just so important to remember what God said and not listen to the lies of the enemy.
Yeah.
And even just the promises throughout the word that the Lord has given us. You know, I think about the Bible says that the gifts and callings on our life are irrevocable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's easy to think, like, when you feel like you know the calling for your life, it's easy to look back and be like, but I've done this, but this is what my past looks like. So that, like Sarah said, that disqualifies me from being able to have this calling. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to believe. But, like, back to this verse, long ago, the Lord had a plan for us. And so no matter what you do from that plan until the plan comes to fruition, like, that doesn't disqualify us from.
And I think it's to remember, Jill tells me this a lot, like, if is to always, you can always, like Madison said, go back on the last thing he told you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think of, I think of Joseph in the, no, not Joseph, I'm so sorry, Isaiah. When he came and placed his calling on Isaiah, and we all know Isaiah 6:8, it says, here I am, send me.
Yeah.
But when he told him, we want to think the Bible's not relatable, but he told him, and he said, no, you're going to go until your land is ruined. Like, it wasn't an easy calling, right? But so you know that Isaiah went forward thinking, what am I doing? But you know he went back on, here I am, send me.
Yeah.
He went back on the last thing that God had told him.
Yeah,
that's good.
I think it's important to remember that the calling that you have on your life is not something that you can accomplish on your own.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I think it's easy to get discouraged in our calling, because a lot of times we try to do it ourselves and we can't. So we try and we fail and we come up short, and we have to remember that it's God in us that is doing this, mm-hmm. and we can't do it on our own. And here's the deal. If you think you have a calling and you can do it by yourself, then it's not big enough.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
God has something bigger for you. If you have goals set in place and they're goals you can accomplish on your own, you need to think bigger.
Yeah.
God wants you doing things that are God-sized goals and not Jill-sized goals.
I think about Moses. You know, we talked about him a little bit in obedience, but I think we can all put ourselves in his shoes when he was called to lead the Egyptians out of captivity, right? He was telling the Lord, like, I can't do that. I'm not, I'm inadequate.
Yeah.
I don't, all these things about giving the Lord the reasons that he couldn't do it. It was too difficult. He didn't have what it took. But the Lord doesn't ask us to do things on our own, like you said. And he doesn't give us the things that we need beforehand always and allows us to go. He says to go. And when he does, we just have to trust that he gives us the tools that we need. He doesn't call the equipped, he equips the calls.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a faith builder, because we have to have faith that the Lord's going to come through with what his word says.
Yeah. So if you're looking at the thing that you think God's calling you to do and you're like, there's no way, then you're probably on the right track.
You're probably there. That's probably your calling.
Yeah, you're probably on the right track. But, you know, just remember to stay encouraged. And, you know, the enemy wants to discourage you from whatever it is and remind you that you can't do it on your own. And you have to constantly be speaking truth over that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can either focus on the fact that you can't do it, or you can focus on the fact that God can.
Yeah. And that leads us, like, right into our last step in finding your purpose, and that's stay connected. Stay connected to both God and fellowship with people that will pour into you and will sharpen your iron and will just come alongside of you in this journey of finding your purpose.
Community is so important. We were talking about Moses, and he said, but I can't talk. And he's like, well, I got somebody who can.
Yeah.
And he sends him Aaron. And I think of that a lot. And I think of that at like A to B. And I think of you girls, like, you're my Aaron, right? You're my Aaron. So God has sent you to come beside me for a purpose,
right.
You know?
Yeah, and I mean, scripture says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. It's so crucial to remain in him. You have to stay connected to the vine, or else you're just going to fall on your face over and over and over again. You can't do the thing that God has called you to do without him.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is he sent you me and you can't do it without me?
Sarah.
The Sarah Show.
You know, my kids, every time we talk about A Rise to Life, Mia says, you mean the Sarah Show? And then she says, or should we call it the Ronnie Show now?
Oh.
Oh, we have a new member. Guys, we forgot to introduce our new spokesperson for
Veronica. She's flipping her hair, guys.
Oh, the hair
What
flip.
A mess.
I really need to work on that.
Do you need you need to explain, because they're going to think we have a fifth member in the room.
I mean, you kind of do.
Sarah got some awesome hair extensions, and now she's just too fabulous for us. She's too fabulous for the name Sarah.
She doesn't let us forget that she hair flips. Right. And
next time you see us, come up and I will hair flip you.
No one's going to ever want to come see us.
Can we cut all this out?
Oh, nobody wants you to hair flip them.
She doesn't.
Okay, so we talk a lot about the steps and just the journey of figuring out the Arise to Life purpose that we all, or the calling that the Lord gave us with Arise. And so I just want to just ask you guys to talk about another purpose or calling that you feel like you have on your life that maybe would surprise people, that people don't think about, you know? Anybody want to go first?
You know, I think of, and it sounds probably silly to some people, but I'm like an introvert. And I get nervous to talk to people. And so there'll be times when I'm in a gas station and God tells me to go and talk to someone and just spark up a conversation. And it isn't even a conversation about God, but the candy bar they have in their hand or their hair, or telling them their hair looks pretty that day. And that's a big deal. It's kind of silly, but it's a big deal for me because I'm shy and I don't really enjoy doing that. And so generally people think of calling as you're on stage or you're witnessing or whatever, but that's just something that God asked me to do sometimes that might not seem like it's a calling, but it is for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, go.
No, I know. I think that's super important to be intentional. Like, because you never know what that does to somebody's day. And like Ash said earlier, God put that on your heart for a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, and I think like I try to be super intentional after we leave post every week. I try to message somebody new. And like, I know the feedback that I've gotten from that, which that's awkward because first off, it's something they've shared personally in our group. And I'm like, hey, I was thinking about what you said tonight, and then I'll share something with them, just encouragement, and that's uncomfortable.
Yeah, and like the one I think about is just I have two toddler boys at home, and so I've been called to motherhood, and a lot of times it looks like wiping noses and dirty bottoms all day and cleaning up messes, but the Lord has just really convicted my heart not to rush through that calling, to focus on the one that maybe looks greater in the eyes of, you know, the public, because man, that's such an incredible calling as a mom to teach them about Jesus and to encourage them to follow the Lord in all the things that they do. And, shame on me for taking that lightly, you know? And so I don't know, just our first ministry, I think as moms, anyone that's listening is around our dinner table, you know, we can't neglect that.
Yeah. While you're sharing that, I felt some conviction. I recently Michael and I had got called to housekeeping. And while Ash was talking about how she's wiping bottoms and wiping nose, like I'm literally cleaning cabins and doing laundry and not the most glamorous job in the world, right? But what, like you're talking about, like when I stop and I do a heart check, which I kind of have to do nowadays almost every day because I'm like, this is just great. I'll stop and be like, no, I need to know, like, I need my heart checked. And he always reminds me, it's way bigger than what it looks like here. It's way bigger than what I can imagine. Mm-hmm. And like, and I think that's what keeps me going, right?
Yeah, that's what I think about. Like, you know, as a parent, we're raising the next generation of world changers, you know, mm-hmm. like if we neglect our job, then what does the future look like for us and for them, you know? And I think about as you're folding towels and as you're washing the sheets in the laundry that a kiddo camped and slept under, you know, like the impact that has on them, you know, and the opportunity to pray over whatever kid's going to have this towel, whatever kid's going to use this fitted sheet on their bed, you know, like it may be the only impact that they get to experience Jesus.
Yeah. And when you think about it, like usually when I do those heart checks, he always tells me to pray. I have noticed that. Like, yeah. It's usually like, well, you should pray. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to pray over these campers, you know?
Yeah.
But it always realigns my heart.
Yeah. And that brings us back to Ashlyn's point. Stay focused, you know, staying focused on what matters and not getting, you know, distracted by the, yeah. And it's just staying focused on Jesus and what am I doing and I'm serving and, you know, just keeping that heart focused on him.
And it's all about perspective. You know, like I could complain about the snotty noses or the dirty dishes or the laundry that's piled up in my, you know, living room or wherever it's at. But, you know, if I choose to be thankful that the Lord gave me boys that cause the dirty dishes and wear the laundry, you know what I mean? Like, it's your perspective can change your attitude of where you're at.
And I think, you know, the things we've said so far are all things that sometimes we have to be reminded that those are callings.
Yes.
Sometimes they feel like mundane tasks. Mm-hmm. And that's why staying connected, that third point that Ashlyn mentioned, you know, is so important. Like, we're staying connected. And I'm here to remind Sarah when she's having a hard day, hey, you're doing this for a reason. Mm-hmm. Or when Ashlyn's struggling with her boys, hey, you know, there's purpose in this. You're feeling like living out the calling that God's placed on your life. And that's so important.
Yeah, I think it's easy to ask the Lord, like in the season of motherhood, like, God, what do you have for me? What's next? When in reality, we should ask God, what do you want me to do while I'm right here in this moment? Because like the book of Esther, Mordecai and Esther, we know we've heard that phrase, you were created for such a time as this. And that's exactly what kind of attitude and thoughts we should be having in every season of our life.
Yeah.
Like in this moment, I was created for this moment. So let's make the best of it.
Yeah.
I love that you talked about Esther because it's the only book in the Bible where his name is not mentioned, not one time. And but he's all over it. I mean, like you read it and you're like, man, there's God, there's God, there's God. And she was faithful, you know, but I think it's there to be relatable to us in seasons where we don't feel like God. So I've accepted this position, and there are days when those dirty cabins, I'm like, I don't know about this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Or I don't think this is really where God wanted me or whatever. And I think that's why Esther is there to remind us that when he feels distant or when I think I'm not where I'm supposed to be, he is guiding me, and he is all over it. Yeah. Just like Esther, his name wasn't there, but he's written all over it.
Yeah. I want to add something in here. I just feel the Holy Spirit reminding me of when I was a young mom. And that's not to say I'm not young anymore, because I totally am still really young. But when I had really small kids, I remember being on Facebook, and just this one time I read this post about, and it was like actually a really great post. And it was talking about how when you're folding the laundry, think about the feet that are filling the socks and, you know, all these different things. And I was like, I really hate laundry. And I felt ashamed because I couldn't do that. Like, I do. I still hate laundry. Yeah. And it's hard for me to do it with joy. Yeah. But it's just reminding me, if that's you and you're feeling ashamed because you can't really take joy in motherhood, reframe that and think about, you know, God can handle your prayers that aren't very pretty. Your prayers that say, this is hard and I don't like it and I can't be joyful about this and I just don't want to do it. Share that with your Father. Yeah. He can handle those prayers. And it's not even necessarily, doesn't have to be about the joy in doing that specific task, but God is doing something in you as you do it, whether it's with joy or not.
Jesus himself was like, take this cup if you can, you know? Yeah. Like he had a dirty prayer, like a hard prayer there, you know?
And the Bible even says he understands us in our groaning. So even whenever you can't pray, you know, there's no words that are coming out and you're just filled with, like Jill said, shame or just all these feelings. Like, you know, he still understands us in our grumbling. Yeah. So.
Oh, grumble. But no matter what your everyday looks like, no matter what season you're in, whether you're wrestling toddlers, we talk about that in our, I think we said that exact words. Having a cup of coffee or wrestling toddlers, whether you're 10 years old listening to this or 80 years old listening to this, God has something for you today. Mm-hmm. It's not just about what he has tomorrow or what he had when you were in your prime or whatever. He has something for you today.
I'm glad that you said that, though, because I think we think so much like it's going to get better, like my calling's going to get better, that we neglect today. Like we neglect and we lose sight of what he has for me today.
Yeah.
You know, and then so it's like I have to start over tomorrow because I didn't get what he had for me yesterday. Yeah. So he's like, okay, let's try this again, girl. Yeah. Like he does it a lot for me.
That just takes me to a story in Deuteronomy 1. It talks about Moses when he's speaking to the people of Israel when they're on their journey. And so it talks about how that journey took 40 years. Okay. And in my Bible, I have, what's this called down here?
The commentary.
Yes, the commentary of the Bible. Okay, and so it says, the Israelites spent 40 years on a journey that should have lasted 11 days. And when reading this, like, you don't think about these details, but it should have lasted 11 days, and it took 40 years. And it said it wasn't the distance that stood between them and the promised land. It was the condition of their hearts. God's purpose went deeper than simply transporting a huge group of people to a new land. He was preparing them to live in obedience once they arrived. And so this journey to figuring out our calling is not just finding out where we're going to land or moving to a new location or all those things. It's a journey to change our hearts, to transform our hearts and our lives. And until we allow God to do that heart change in our life, we're likely not going to arrive at the calling that he's placed on our lives. Because I think about this Arise to Life journey. And if 10 years ago, God would have told me, hey, you're going to do a Rise to Life podcast, my heart would not have been ready to receive that. And it would be in a whole different place than it is today because of that. And so I'm thankful for this, you know, for the timing that God brought Arise to Life, because I know that he's done a work in all of our lives. If we had the time to sit down and talk about the heart change that we've all went through in the past couple years, you know, it would be incredible. But
and I think that's why it's so important to pray that prayer, create in me a clean heart.
Yeah.
You know, whenever we pray that and expect him to show us the things we need to change, he will. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll bring attention to the areas in our life that need change before he can reveal to us our purpose.
Be prepared.
Yeah.
Go back to that. You got to take action, though. When he reveals those things to you, take action to take care of those things.
And I think it's important to remember that with any kind of public ministry, when you're kind of on a platform and you're sharing, that was preceded by private growth. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a period of time where you have to, you know, have your heart praying that prayer, create in me a clean heart, on God, search me, know my heart, point out the offensive ways in me, and you allow God to mold you and shape you and refine you into who you need to be in order to proclaim, you know, his word to the world. And so I remember a point in time when I knew that God was calling me and I knew that he was asking me to do something. And I even had a small picture of what that was going to look like. I had left a coaching job and I knew that God wanted me to do something in fitness, and he wanted me to take that weapon that the enemy used against me and he wanted me to use it for good. And so I had a picture of what that looked like, but I didn't know what the next step was. I didn't know what I needed to do in order to get moving on that. And I just kept searching and kept searching and kept searching. But really the answer was at that time, just seek me. Just, you know, grow in relationship with me and everything else is going to fall into place. And so it felt like forever that I was just, not just, you know, a stay-at-home mom is the greatest calling, but my kids were in school and I was at home and felt purposeless. And that's a very dangerous place to be when you feel like you lack purpose. And so just resting in the fact that right now, if you feel like you lack purpose, like Ashlyn said, you do have purpose. Mm-hmm. You have a purpose. But right now, that might look like sitting at the feet of Jesus and asking him to get you ready for what's next.
Yeah, like you don't see the behind the scenes heart changes and things that happen. It's like Joseph, like before he became king, his brothers threw him in a hole. They sold him to slavery. He went to prison. What's the guy's wife tried to sleep with him multiple times. I mean, like he had all these things, but God had molded him to the point when his brothers finally made it back to him. He didn't, he could have sit there and pointed the finger, but he didn't. He said, what the enemy sent for evil, God is now using. So in the present, right now, he's using it for good. Yeah. You know, and he could have blamed them.
That's good.
Yeah, and so I just want to, like, something that comes to my mind is just that no matter what calling the Lord has on our lives, we all, as Christians, have the same calling to spread the gospel wherever we go. Mark 16:15 says, "And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone." So despite whatever else the Lord calls us to, that's a calling that all of us Christians have. And I know, like, it's not anything small, but when we're faithful with little, we'll be faithful with much. And I don't like to view spreading the gospel as little, but, you know, it in comparison as to whether it's taking a new job and moving a long ways away, you know, we can share with our neighbors, we can share at the grocery store, and that's what we're supposed to do. Everywhere we go is proclaim the gospel and what the Lord's done to us, for us.
It is as little as telling the gas station lady, like Jill said, hi, or your hair looks nice.
I think sometimes we miss the calling that God has in our present because we don't think it's big enough. You know what I mean? Like, when you think of a calling, like Jill said in the past, you think standing on a stage or doing all those things, and we miss what journey the Lord's trying to give us right now in the present to get us there. And so, whether it's gas station gospel or gas station gospel, I like it, or wrestling toddlers, or folding laundry, you know, or praying over your waitress when the Lord speaks to you to go, like, those are all a calling that the Lord's giving us. And so I think we should just be obedient. Going back to our last session, obedient to do what he has. And when he does, then it's like, he's like, okay, you've done that. Good job. Now we're going to move to the next thing, you know? And it's almost kind of like, feels like that sometimes.
Yeah. And one thing I want to add to this, like before we end, is no matter what the calling that God has placed on your life, it's always going to include rest. Rest is a commandment from God. He's asked us to rest. He rested on the seventh day. He, the first 6 days he created, and then he rested. And so if you're going and going and going and you don't have margin and you don't have rest in your life, then you've taken on more than God has called you to take on. And you need to kind of reassess and say, okay, where can I drop something? What needs to happen? I just read a Facebook post the other day that said, if your business is causing you to miss date night and kids' ball games or something, then it's destructive and not productive. And I think that's the same with ministry. We can't let our ministry distract us from our rest and our family and our date night and our first calling which is motherhood and being a wife, right?
Yeah.
And I love that. And I have one more thing before we stop, too. But, like, it's important to remember, like, John the Baptist, like, it's not about me. It's not about Sarah. It's about him, ultimately, right? And that takes the pressure off a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think of John the Baptist, like you were saying, like, he was going around baptizing people, and he was getting known. Like, he was getting recognized for being the guy that went before Jesus and baptized people. And then when Jesus came himself, even John the Baptist's disciples were like, who's this guy? He's, like, still in the thunder. And right then in that moment, John realized he has to become greater and I have to become less,
yeah.
You know?
Okay, girls, just to kind of wrap it up, just kind of going over the steps again. So whenever you're trying to figure out the calling that God has on your life, just seek the Lord, stay focused, stay connected to God and to people that are just going to encourage you on your walk with the Lord. So we just love you guys, and we just love the calling that God's put on our lives, and we are just praying that you find the calling that God has for you, because
yeah.
Each and every one of you girls have a purpose and have a calling on your life, and one that only you can fulfill. So like, share, subscribe, all the things that Jill normally says, she's really good at, but we love your support and we appreciate your support, and we look forward to hanging out with you again next time.
Yeah.